we'll establish a quorum. Jim?
Jim Fleming here.
Douglas Moore.
Linda Johnston.
Russ Smith.
Tom had a meeting and didn't know if he could make it.
Right. Yeah, he said he might be late.
Arlo's gone, but he wanted to stay on the committee. And I haven't heard from Wayne.
I told him Friday to come pick his packet up, and then I forgot to pick mine up.
Shut up.
Yes.
All right, we have a call.
Just barely.
Okay. Russ, would you lead us in pledging of allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to lower the curtains in the back. Because of
which one?
Yeah.
Just, the traffic?
Yeah. Well, no, the light. Thank you.
Yeah. Kind of glares at you, doesn't it?
Well, I have a long history of light sensitivity.
Yeah.
Has everybody had time to read the minutes?
Everything looks fine to me.
Did you find anything, Jim, that you wanted corrected?
I make a motion we accept the minutes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? They're approved. Discussion on snow removal.
That's last agenda.
Yeah, don't worry.
That's all right. Okay. We need to revisit that again. Okay. How about our wonderful open house?
So,
with water and wastewater.
So a week and a half ago, we had an open house up at Roslyn Elementary School in the library. And Scott was there talking about, mostly focused on the wastewater system. Brad and Brandon from Anderson Perry, who's the engineering firm the city's been working with on the water and wastewater master plan updates, they were there. They printed off some nice new maps to show sort of where the project area is and what some of the pipes in the ground for both the systems would look like. These are the maps. So we had lots of extra maps there. Brad and Brandon, like I said, Tammy was there talking about planning questions, because again, I know some of you pay attention to what we've been talking about at the Planning Commission, and one of the questions was subdividability up there with the new infrastructure that'll be going in. I was there, Ashley was there, so we had a full house with staff, and not necessarily surprisingly, we had a full house with people who showed up to participate. So I think I saw everybody there. So I just wanted to bring it back up and give you guys an opportunity to voice your thoughts on how you thought it went, ask any follow-up questions, and then maybe give a quick update as to what the next step the city's doing in terms of that project. So I'll share that after you guys make comments or questions, if you have any.
The only comment I heard back was it was we didn't have enough room in there. Yeah, we may want to look at a larger room if we ever do something like that again.
Yeah, we will do something like that again, probably in 6 months or so, late summer, early fall, and we will look at a different location. That one was chosen partly because we wanted to get as close to Cagle and Glenwood as possible. And I saw it with the open house 2 weeks ago up there, and then also with the ODOT open house, is that this concept of open house, you can't just tell people that there's an open house for these 2 hours. because the expectation is that, well, the meeting starts at that time and they better show up at least half an hour early to get a seat, and then you have a big rush of people at the front end and it's too full, and then it clears out and it's, you've got plenty of space for the tail end of the meeting. So a combination, that's a great point, a combination of better explaining the format, and then also really thinking about how many people are going to show up, because I think what Brad told me at one point, or someone told me, that they counted 60 or 65 people in the Roslyn Library at one point, and yeah, I was feeling it.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Most of the people that I talked to were a little bit disappointed that there wasn't some dollar and cents talked about how much hookup charges are going to be and so forth. We understand why, but they didn't. I mean, you can't get an idea how much it's going to cost till you have it engineered, but most people, that's what most people were looking for.
Right.
How much is it going to cost me out of my pocket initially?
That.
So we need to focus on that.
And that was really important. That's what everybody mentioned to me, too. There weren't any concrete answers. And I said, well, you know, there can't be any. Well, we understand that, but we thought there was also a lot of people there, realtors and people that have properties there that, what do I do? Can I put in a septic tank now? You know, we need to get in place. What are the steps if you own a property now? You know, and how much is that going to, and it has something to do with an approval from Deschutes County to just put in a concrete septic, right? Is that what we're looking at?
Well, that normally that's that they would be involved at this point, yeah, because they have a septic system and they're not tying into our wastewater system. But what we're, what Rick and I just had a conference call yesterday with USDA, talking about some funding options, and with Brad and Brandon as well, and just kind of talking through the master plans and really trying to refine what does the project entail. Does the project entail new septic tanks for every property up there, including the lines from the tank to tie into our system? Is that part of it? Because if we include that, and then that's what we ask for with financing, or if we take a piece of that out and use some of our funds that the city has set aside, that would take quite a bit of a burden off the folks who live up in that area. So it's a combination of refining that, and then once you have that, going through a process to apply for the grants and the loans over the next 6 months, and hopefully learning more through that period of time.
And what about the bare lots?
Well, the bare lots, my understanding, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know, you're putting in the pipe and you stub out and then you leave it because it's a bare lot. And then at the time of development, that something would be triggered.
Right. And when they develop the bare property, then they pay a system development charge to hook up just like anywhere else in town.
But if someone has a property now and they want to put some improvements in, is there any kind of a waiver or anything they can get to just put in a concrete tank temporarily? Instead of the, I think it was the gentleman that kept visiting everybody and said, what do I do now because I've got to do something, and he doesn't want to spend $13,000 on the new ITT deal when that isn't going to even work when we put this in.
Yeah, they still fall under the county's permit process, or the county building department, sanitation, I don't know the exact department that it's called, but because we're not out there with sewer, they're still following any county jurisdiction on their, what system they have to put in.
So they have to put in their own sewer system. They got to pay $12,000 to $13,000 in order to put it in, if that's what they want to do for a year or two, or 5 years until we come up with something else.
Exactly.
But when you put in so you know that you're going to be stubbing out to the road eventually. So you aren't going to tear the whole thing up and start all over again when you have to go into the road.
You can be strategic about, if you're putting in a whole new system, you can be strategic about where you're putting the tank.
Right.
And so then you would abandon the drain field and then run to connect to our system. if you want to do it in the meantime, that would be the most prudent approach you could take. Or one of the other reasons that we want to have this open house as early as possible is really just to say, hey, we're looking into this. It's right. It's years out, but if it's something that can help you to make a decision where you weren't sure if you were going to wait 3 years or 5 years, maybe now you wait a little bit longer and see how this process unfolds. So, yeah, definitely less answers than questions at that meeting, but really just trying to open up the conversation, give people a heads up, and let them know that we're looking into it.
Well, the gentleman she was talking about, on his property, he already has a steel tank, and that has to come out. The steel tank cannot stay there. And he was afraid that he was going to have to spend anywhere up to $20,000 by the time he gets done. And then have you guys come along and have to hook up. That's what he did. He just wanted, how do I do this? The reason the county told him he has to come back with the septic systems that they approve is because the city has not come up, a plan to include that in our septic, in our sewer system. We don't have that plan up to the county, so he has to go to what they're saying.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, we should have our wastewater master plans updated and finalized and approved.
If that is updated and given to the county says, okay, you are going to put the system in there, then he can just put another tank in the leach field and for now, until you guys hook up and then go.
Gotcha.
And that would say he knows he has to put a tank in anyway. And the tank, depending on the size, I had one done on my son's property. It was like $2,200 instead of $20,000. That's a heck of a savings, And I don't know, his tank now is, Ken, you noticed, the steel tanks are this old. Mm-hmm. They don't get anymore.
Right.
They aren't approved anymore.
No, you're right. And if he's going to build on there, he's got to do the whole thing.
Yeah, Scott, we wouldn't allow a steel tank. It's not in the specs.
No, I don't think the state doesn't allow them anymore.
Nobody allows them anymore.
So part of the question might be as well, in the project, do you include decommissioning of old tanks?
Right.
If a property's in that situation? Because, yeah, I mean, one thing that probably the biggest thing I noticed at that open house is that you have people with all types of scenarios.
Yep. Right.
People who have lived there for 30 years with the same septic system and same well, and they're doing fine. People who just moved there last year and they bought because it has a well and a septic. People who have bare land, people who want to move a mobile home there. People who, so you need to be able to have a response to each one of those scenarios. And really that stems from just understanding what exactly is in the project. And so we're definitely trying to sort that out as soon as
possible. I think with this guy's situation, that if you can update the plan saying to the county showing that we are going to be putting in a system through here, we're just looking for financing or whatever you're looking for, and then maybe it might help him be able to put a tank in a leach field in for now, because it's not going to be forever, and then like you said, cut off the leach field when you're ready to hook up to the city sewer, and that's it. It's a heck of a lot of savings for him.
We'll make sure the county gets those updated plans as soon as they're
I just like to make a couple comments.
Please come to the mic.
Speak into the mic. Hi, Mike.
This is a test, and we all have to talk into the mics to see if it'll record into the system, and we can get rid of the small tape recorder.
Okay, but that mic is sitting there, and it should be able to pick up from me.
If it's on.
And microphones only as good as close as you are to it.
Right. I understand.
There.
Can you tell if it's okay? Then this is a test. There's just a couple of things. One is I think you're getting the cart before the horse in a little bit. But Corey has pointed out that we learned a lot from that meeting. This is a big thing for that group of people, and they're always going to come out in strength. Mm-hmm. That other situations aren't that way, but I think I would suggest that the staff do a overall summary to the people before we start around the room. I mean, you can lay out some points. We don't know numbers, we don't know this. However, we have other information for you that's going to help you. And that next one, you got to lay out the steps.
Yep.
Okay? And I know staff knows this, but you're talking about these tanks. There, I understand there's a tacit agreement with the county because they already know what we're doing. And I know these discussions have been held that if you've got a situation with a tank and it's overflowing, et cetera, et cetera, they will allow repairs versus the, whatever that system's called, the $20,000 system. Mm-hmm. That's going on right now. The piece about that is tanks. Scott talked about you don't have to do anything if you've got bare land. The owners of that shouldn't even be worrying about a tank.
No.
Nobody should be worrying about putting in a tank because that's really, as I can see, logically, that's really just something that's going to come along at a point in time. And I know that's going to get explained as the staff breaks it up. So.
But it does seem to be the hang-up point for people. And like you say, we need to get to back up from that hang-up point to the big picture of system, not the little part that's at the yard.
Yeah. To me, it just seems like it's premature to get down into a discussion about tanks and these little bitty pieces, because each one of those are going to be issues that are related to that piece of property.
Well, he was just, you know, trying to, why do I have to spend all this money?
I talked to him.
Yeah. And I can see his point.
The next step that the city really needs to take is to work with an engineering firm to put together a funding assistance package, which is really the binders. There's going to be one or two binders of this size that meets all the standards to then apply to USDA and also the other, you know, Safe Water Drinking Fund and all of those to then be able to formally put our name in and request funding. So, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but we're going to go through an RFP process in the next month and a half, probably.
Less than that.
We will know in less than a month and a half
yes.
who will be conducting that study for us. And in that study, we will have a definite description of what the project entails. It includes tanks for all the properties where there currently is one. It includes the lines from there to the main lines.
So Corey's right. So what will at our April meeting, whatever that date is, April 8th or something like that, we will approve a professional services agreement, engineers to kind of put this all together. In other words, you have to have this requirements from the USDA in order to even apply. And then the state needs it too. So there's actually, you know, several thousands of dollars worth of work. They have that whole thing. It takes money to make money. You have to have it. It's the only way they'll accept an application. So it's more complicated than one would think. So we'll have that in here. We'll have the council authorize a contract. They'll be working on it. And then we'll schedule our one-stop meeting, which we'll probably schedule it now so we can keep this all in order. So that in April we can have what they call a one-stop, is where all the finance people are. State, federal, and all the other stuff. And then get our financing. Corey's correct. When I watch you, you're probably talking about the tanks on that.
Yeah.
We will have, what we'll do for the sake of, think about when you go in with these first meetings, it's a big $10,000 amount picture. So you assume that, say it's I don't know, Scott maybe even knows, what's a tank cost for a 1,000-gallon tank per house?
Just to buy the tanks, about $1,000.
Yeah, and then how much is to put them in? What do you guys figure about?
Another 1,000 or 1,400.
Yeah. Right. So you're going to have $3,000 to $4,000 per house, and if we have 100 homes, that's $300,000 to $400,000. So if you have 200 homes, $800,000. So instead of needing 12 million, you need 13 million. And then these people want to know what your kind of high number total is. Don't worry, they'll always reduce the loan. See, so when I was today, when I was driving down, I was on the phone with Anderson Perry, Brad Baird, and we were talking about, you know, when you come up with that number, and then you might be 25% of the people, their tanks will work. But like he said, you know, don't go much above that on estimating, you know, maybe you assume 90% will need the tank. Then if less, you borrow less.
Yeah.
That, because we want to secure the funding. When we apply, they set that money aside, kind of. That's how they do that. So say we're going to need 12 million, just say. They'll set that aside. Now, if you only need 10, that's fine. Okay. It also starts to help you with the interest rate because you're going to lock in. Did you tell them what our interest rate would be on the sewer?
Maybe. It should be 1.75.
1.75. When the districts, and I always felt bad because when these two shenanigans over here were working at the districts, one of the arguments that Brian Earls and everyone said was we should move forward on the Kegel thing then, but they were trying to rush it. But it was because of 2.5% interest rate. And at the time, I've always in my back of my head, they've been afraid that it was going to be 3%. And, you know, and what they were saying was true. Well,
right.
Sam Goldstein told us yesterday that on the sewer side, that we can get 1.75, which is unheard of. And that's because we're getting a half or 0.75 off because it's actually cleaning up groundwater. It isn't, I don't believe that's based, I don't know that our income has any, too much to do with that, but I might have missed that. But it's because it's, you know, some projects are just going to go, like, put a big line in. But because these are going to go take out 200 septic systems,
it has its impact.
So they give you a half a point or something, kick her down. That's how we get to 1.75. And Sam said they have the money to loan 100% of it right now. And Brad Baer also said that he couldn't believe, because Sam had called and said, emailed us and called too. I talked to him on the phone and he says, hey, Rick, we got money. So, and like Brad's like, this is just weird. Normally they only want to put up half of it or something. But so we want to kind of move this along. That's why time is of the essence.
I think it does two things. The fact that, not by very much, and you shouldn't expect it, but it can actually reduce the time frame. If the money's if you're in the stream for the money, and the money comes along on a faster track than normal, then maybe you're cutting off 4 or 5 months of the 3-year program. So the sooner we can do it, the better.
Is there a time frame on that, on the availability of that loan?
As soon as possible.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that he said.
I didn't pick up on that.
The interest rates would be, this is set, and I don't know this either, Corey, when they make, when you apply, I don't believe
does
that.
Does it lock it in?
I don't know when that locks in. The rate that he quoted is set through now in July.
Well, okay, that's what I wanted to know. If you got a time frame where that rate is going to stay there,
barring the Feds, and the Feds raised a couple meetings back, they went up before, but they have denied that. And with the oil industry in shambles, we're probably okay for 2016. I again,
speculation.
But I think, and even then, they run a little behind in how they do it. So I would say we're probably.
Well, wouldn't it be a good suggestion to get in there and lock the rate in?
Well, I don't know that they lock rates in like that.
Well, Well, if they do, that would be a great thing to do.
Set aside.
Yeah. Those are all the things we're going to find out over the next 30 and 60 days.
Good.
And stuff. I mean, overall, it's a pretty good deal. I haven't calculated the difference on that, but, you know.
it's huge.
Well, you guys saw, because the email I sent you last time, it 4.5%, yeah. You know what that was going to save on $2.5 million. So to figure
it's huge.
From 4.5 to 1.75, because Washington Federal is going to be 2.3.
Okay.
So
it's major.
It's major. So this is the time to do it. And that'll be an arguing point when you go to sell this to people. That will never, ever be cheaper than this. You can say that.
Straight out. It's going to be a major selling point.
Right.
But they're always, the big thing is, what is it going to cost me? That was the biggest question I had.
Yes.
There's so many avenues for the homeowners. Like when they did this last one, I think I've always had $3,500 in my head about what it cost for a hookup. And that was partially tanked. Scott, you may know this better, but about that time, it was $3,500, and that included the pieces around the tank. We know things were cheaper then and everything, but they'll be able to put that on their tax, or they should be, and lay it out across until the property gets paid for, sold. There's going to be help out there for anybody, alternate choices for everybody.
I'm sure we could come up with something creative, even like something that bordered on a local improvement district for the hooking up to the service. Not like a system development charge, but the actual hard costs of getting the pipe hooked to the house. And something like a local improvement district could take care of that.
Yeah.
One of the things that we really have to emphasize, though, for the people on Kegel, is if you weren't part of the city, you would now be worried about that $20,000 hookup.
Good selling point.
By the way, you're going to have to do it if you aren't part of the city. And here we're trying to do a sewer, and yes, it will cost you some money, but in comparison with that $20,000, we can at least cut it in half.
Even though, people didn't think they were getting a lot out of it, it definitely set the stage. Because now they're talking about it, they know what's happening, they know they're going forward. So it may seem like a sort of a bit of a lost meeting, but it wasn't. You're setting the stage.
Well, it wasn't a lost meeting.
Yeah.
I was so proud of all the people, all of our staff that were there. I mean, people were really engaged, and they were very careful not to promise anything or, give their viewpoints on stuff. But I thought it was real. They were all open. Everybody was happy. I was really impressed with how well Lapine represented themselves, how our public works employees and staff did. Very good job.
What I got out of, even the people that maybe weren't happy about going to have to spend some money, nobody was mad.
No.
No.
There weren't mad people. Well, once it got going, there were a couple of mad people when I got there.
Pushy, yeah.
But they left. And then everybody else that weren't happy about the whole thing weren't even happy because we couldn't give them a number. They were understanding and wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, they did.
And there was just a lot of good talking about it going on there.
Well, I wasn't there based on what I've heard from all of you and Corey. That it could have been a lot worse, so
yes.
I'd say pretty darn.
Yeah.
People maybe are just kind of resigned to it, and then you just got to work out.
I got more of why is it going to take so long than stay the hell out of my yard.
My last comment is just that people are they don't know what's happening, and it affects their pocketbook, and they don't like to be in that kind of a frame of mind. Well, we still don't really know what it's going to cost us. I think there's ways to, at the next meeting, to settle that down to a point of there will be options. But and then I really like, Russ, what you said about laying it out there. You if you weren't part of this thing, you'd be paying those $20,000 fees this way. But that's the problem.
One of the people I ran into, they said, well, I just bought my house, 3 months ago or 4 months ago. Nobody ever told me anything about all this. They haven't been through the grief that we all went through with that whole polluted water business and all the rest of that nitrate. I mean, and they weren't smacked on the side of the head with a $20,000 bill that's coming our way. They don't know the background behind it. But, you know, a lot of other people are fully aware of it, and they should be very grateful there in the city. That's why a whole city thing started. I mean, we probably wouldn't have been a city if they hadn't really pushed it too hard. So, that's a possibility.
So, well, the next meeting, we should have those numbers. I mean, we probably wouldn't do another one without close numbers, I wouldn't think. You know? So it might be 6 months, or cause I don't know how long one stop takes or any of that junk. But
well, that would take that question out of the people's mind. Okay, I got to look for this. I got to look forward to this paying this amount of money. You know, instead of being up in the air and taking guesses at wild figures, get down to the nuts and bolts.
Any other comments on that meeting? How about the First Street 97 landscaping bid?
Yeah, so we had a bid opening, that was last week, Scott, right? Last Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, it feels like it was longer ago. I had to think for a second. Opened up, had, I think there were four bids.
Right.
Four bids for the landscaping of the project that happened up at First Street in 97. And so the low bid came in at about $118,700, significantly less than what it would have cost prior to when the landscaping was included in that work that ODOT was doing up there. So
it was like 180 or
yeah,
something with ODOT.
So paid dividends to pull that out and wait and bid it over the winter. And now this is on the agenda for the council meeting tomorrow night to essentially award the contract. There will be once we get the performance bond and hold a pre-construction meeting, which that should all take place in the next 10 days, work will commence, and there's a completion date of May 13th that's built into that contract. So that was always the goal that I had heard and that I had kept repeating, which is that this work will be finished by Memorial Day and heading into the summer.
Good.
So, the company is Paul Brothers. They are out of Boring, but they just recently finished constructing a park for the Bend Park and Recreation District, Ponderosa Park, and are also working on the Colorado Dam project. So they've been in Central Oregon. They have a good reputation, and they've consistently delivered.
I could see when I drove over to the day, I saw that someone was putting sprinkler heads up out in these little islands, and I bet that's probably their landscaping. Oh. Yeah, I could see that they were landscaping.
Yep, I saw it the other day myself. Looks crazy with all those white pipes just going everywhere.
Yeah, you can see the white pipes.
They could have used green.
So just wanted to give an update on that. I know we talked about that. We'd come in with some of the plans and the designs. So you'll start to see that take shape in the next month and a half.
Those of us that are more sensitive, I was telling these guys the other day, I think, but the people on the council and actually they were both there, but for sure the mayor. But, you know, remember we were all in trouble for, supposedly we stopped the signal project, but yet today here we are, the signal's operating, everyone's using it, and you have most likely forgotten that it was 4 weeks later than you would have liked. But in the process of that, that one bit alone saved us $70,000, plus we got a $150,000 grant to pay for the lights, all the decorative lights from ODOT. So you add the two together, it's about a $200,000 to $300,000 savings, and yet we, at the time, it was like, my God, the light has to be running next week because I can't wait three more weeks. And there's a lesson that all of us should learn in that.
Absolutely. it is. I mean, everything is like that.
You're excited.
Yeah, I mean, that's normal.
I think once all these projects are done, the people, okay, this is what they were talking about. It's a visual thing. They have to see it. The maps and all that stuff don't really mean anything.
So just think about it right now. The stoplight is no longer, wow. It's
normal.
it's normal.
Yeah.
It sure makes it nice.
Okay.
Oh, boy, does it make it nice.
I quit driving around just to be happy about it, you know.
I haven't quit that one yet. I still go out of my way to go through it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't go out of my way to go through it.
Well, it's actually the easiest one to use in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Really. And I used to go around. I'd run around back behind the industrial park, whatever it was. Yeah, and then come out down here because I thought, I don't want to make that left turn. So, but we're pretty happy with that $118,000 landscape bid, and then we got a 2-year guarantee, I believe it was.
Yeah, we did.
So we have 2 years guarantee. They got to make through 2 summers. So usually they were 1 when we added the 2nd year. So you get into the death of plants and things. Our biggest trouble is going to be with ODOT and the sand. And we'll talk to Scott. We got to work on you getting your Vactor truck out and do some vacuuming.
Yeah, when they were blowing off the sidewalk out here the other day, I think they tried. They were able to blow a bunch of those cinders back out of there.
If you do it on a warm, dry day, maybe a blower could blow them out.
Actually,
the sidewalk you're talking about.
Well.
Out of the
bioswale, yeah. And Rick, I meant to grab you and show you. Johnny was over here, and Mike was probably helping him out too, with the backpack lower. And the section that he did probably about a 5-foot section down on this end, and it looks great.
Okay.
So that probably would be the easiest. Because then you also don't run into the issue of driving the Vactor truck on the highway.
Well, that's true. We want to then do that, and then, of course, then have ODOT come behind and get it off the road. But
yeah.
Well, we did talk, you know, we mentioned our meeting the other day a little bit, is it that, you know, inside the city limits on the highway like this, you need the snow plows to go a little slower so they don't throw it so far. Because the snow plow blade is only a travel lane, not even a travel lane, wide. Well, this is over quite a few feet. It's when they throw the snow. And if you're going by at 40, it throws it further. And I've been looking in both Mathers and Redmond. While they have less snowstorms, they still have snowstorms. And there isn't any cinder in any of that. And I can tell you what they do is they go along at 20 miles an hour. So when I plow, it just goes over less. And they can control that amount of sand. They turn it down. How far it flings, because they can get it to fling clear across. And I think that over time in those cities, they have dialed this down. And I just think our guys are used to being out here, they're used to running from here to Schmolt, and they just throw her out. So I talked to what McGinnis the other night when he was here, and we looked out at it, and I said, you know, hey, and he said, yeah, we might have to change how we do things a little.
I would think there is some way that we could actually reduce the amount of cinder through town. Why do we need cinder? More of the magnesium chloride.
I talked to Farnsworth about that.
Yeah, and. I know you see them starting to use more in the city this year. I mean, in all these points, instead of gravel or anything, they're using that magnesium chloride.
Yeah, no, they use it mainly going down south, all the intersections.
Yeah.
About 31, Maston, and so, but they spray it there so it stays nice and fairly dry. That's good. You talking about the snowplow, the guy came down, this is county, came down my street. He was going so fast, he was knocking mailboxes off and throwing the snow 10 feet from the road over an 8-foot fence. That's how fast he was going. Called up the county and took care of that problem. Of course, then I had to put my mailbox back on. And all those white boxes they used for the bullet, they knocked them all down. I mean, they were at angles.
Well, see, they don't do that in the downtowns of the other cities because guess what's downtown, Sisters and Redmond, not now, but Mathers and Redmond up until a couple years ago, you had businesses 10 feet away with glass storefronts.
Right.
And ODOT would go through and replace windows if they went by at that speed.
Yeah.
So, in fact, they would run a grader down. But you take Sisters, which they're at a high elevation. They aren't running down through Sisters at 30, 40 miles an hour, flinging this up to all those businesses.
It's a matter of
education, I think.
Well, Maston is a long open area here where it's just woods. That's fine. Go ahead and throw it there. But once you start getting to the houses, slow down. Which they did. Took care of that problem.
Okay. Any other issues and concerns?
Kegel, springtime road maintenance. Any idea of when?
We're probably going to check in with Vic, because we had Vic go down and do some grading 3 weeks ago, a month ago.
A month. It was just
that was a waste of money.
Well, other people say it was the nicest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Drive down there after the meeting and tell me it's nice.
No, I don't want
to. Well, but
I know.
Yeah, but,
well, that usually happens in March or April, the springtime robbery. I don't know if we need to redo a contract on that or not.
This spring is covered. We'll do that heading into next year. I got a call about that yesterday. Actually, had a gentleman call.
Oh, had a couple of people ask me what was going to happen.
Yeah, and
it's over a month out.
I told him that it usually happens in late March or early April when you're not getting down to, I think last night it got down to 20 degrees. I think that plays into it. So you want to wait until spring has sprung and you're not getting that real deep freeze at night. But there was a little bit done a month ago. Surprisingly, I've only gotten, you got one call, Rick, maybe on it. I got
not since we
did it. Yeah, I got one call before we did it, and then I got one call just yesterday, and that's all I've gotten. But I know what you're saying, Doug. I know it's bumpy.
Okay. The guy on North Huntington, across the street from the trailer park, that's got all the junk piled up alongside the road.
Look at Corey.
Hmm?
Look at Corey.
Rick wants you to look at me.
You're the one that's been working on it.
No, Corey has now. Okay. He knows more.
What's the status on that? Is it ever going to get cleaned up or what?
The latest update I got from John Griley, who's a Deschutes County code enforcement officer, is that they were going to be issuing a citation. He checked in with me right after the first of the year, so probably the first or second week of January, and he said, we've noticed, we've met with him out there. He gave me the backstory of how long it's been, how many times Rick has been out there and checked on it. He said, we want to issue citation. And we said, yeah, absolutely. Go forward with that. Now, I haven't followed up with him to find out, how do you then move it to the step of actually getting it clean? Because there's, you would hope that the penalty would be in a little push in the back to fix this issue, but I haven't gotten an update since then.
It's so going to take a little bit more than a little push.
Than a citation, yeah.
It's with some of those people.
I mean, this guy is not going to move that stuff until we get nasty.
Yeah, no, you're right there.
I almost guarantee that.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
I'll follow up with John.
Right. Find out if they sent a letter or they did, or yeah. What did they do.
It's unfortunate it has to get to that point.
It's unfortunate it ever started.
Right, yeah.
Code enforcement works great with people who clean it up after you notify them. Code enforcement doesn't work so good when people tell you
stuff like the rule.
Yeah, you'd say the court system and the kind of the whole system isn't really geared good for that kind of stuff. It really comes down to, even if he goes to court, no one's going to jail over this. So it really takes someone that just says, okay, I don't want to go to court, so I'm going to do it. But if you really want to thumb your nose,
And you got to remember that this has never been on the county's radar anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they go out of their way to not go down a street where there's an issue.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not, they're the greatest people going. They're one of our best partners that we've got. But you look back, and Rick can quickly point out some of the things he first noticed when we got here to town. There's that big cleanup over here. Off of William Foss. You go back in there in that old house and all that.
Oh,
and the kids were that back there doing their thing. But. We and some of this stuff still lingers. We have a mindset here that this is Lapine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've changed that drastically since we became a city and brought on a real manager. And but it still lingers. This is, nobody gets punished anymore, even when we take them to a court.
Right.
You know, but all those little devices that you have to dream up to get something done is how it gets done. And it takes a long time.
Yeah.
But
if we don't keep pushing on it, it'll never happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, if we're dealing with the city of Lapine, not with the Lapine area.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, this guy, we want the reputation that, you know, if you're out of the area, we aren't coming after you. But if you're in our city, it's going to be clean.
What would happen if the citation doesn't work? Does the county come in there and clean it up themselves and then put it on the property?
No, we're a long ways from that.
No, I don't think that's the case.
You probably go to court like you did last time.
Yeah, kick a court. I have no idea if there's backed property taxes or anything like that.
Let's assume there is, and it'd be about what we went through.
Yeah, well, and that's with a different property that probably many of you are familiar with up in Cable. You know, it got to the point where the county probably is going to foreclose on it after, I think it would be 5 years of back taxes, and we're kind of in year four right now. And so it's a waiting game of, well, do you take it to court? Do you spend legal fees? Do you exert a lot of time and energy into this if then the county is going to take control and clean it up and turn around and sell it? Or do you just kind of say, okay, that, you know, we're just going to wait on that one? I don't know if I'm summing that up correctly, but, you know, so in each one, if the citation doesn't work, you know, again, it would be looking into talking with John Griley and seeing kind of what his opinion is, and then staff discussion and council, and if it's a priority, then we move forward.
Yeah, this particular one, it's just funny that it's by the county taxes. The last time I looked, it's still owned by what they describe as their elderly lady in the valley.
Yeah.
But when you talk to the guy there who brought all the stuff, because there wasn't any until he came on, he's buying it from her, but it's on a private note. And when we had her certified, I sent her before, she doesn't, I don't believe she could sign for him, or I don't remember exactly, but something tells me she didn't. He got his thing. So then all that complicates, because actually it goes to the landowner. So you've got a grandma sitting in the valley, could be on a respirator for all we know, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the court isn't gonna do much.
No.
And then, so he says he owns it, but nothing we show says he owns it. So, you know, the devil's in all of that. And
I think for me, I think we need to be cautious about spending city resources.
Well, that you would have to do if you're anything else.
I know. But given this whole thing will play out over time anyway, you know, I really have a concern about, you know, going in there and doing something just to make it happen.
No, I think
we're
going to
approach
process.
It very cautiously.
Yeah, you do the legal process all the way down the line.
Yeah.
Get your ducks in a row and make sure you're okay.
Well, but the end of the road on all of this is, in all cities, they go clean it up with city tax dollars, and then you place a lien on the property.
Yeah, right.
The property in Portland.
So, again, anecdotally, that could be true, but that isn't that big of a one to clean up. I mean, you know, it's because it doesn't have the years of things. I mean, you know, you got tires, you got fencing, and you know, you can go in there with the dumpsters and take care of that. I mean, it's not going to be $10,000. You don't have abandoned mobile homes and things with asbestos in them. You know, if you have a couple trailers that you need to leave, you leave it. You could go in and, but nope, that's why I said, if you really don't comply, then you're forcing the council to decide, how serious are we? Because you talk about spraying around, if everyone knows, well, I'm just going to, you know, let it then, because there is no police going to make you do it. It's really a matter of the city would have to decide, we're cleaning it up, and then we're going to put a lien to collect it. You will eventually get paid, because the property will change hands at some point.
Right.
And you will get paid. What some jurisdictions do, they maybe you budget $20,000 and you just have that, say, well, this is, and you know, most years you don't even use it, you know. But then you just set that aside, and once it's set aside, it's just there. It doesn't cost you each year. Unless you use some, you gotta rebuild it.
And I'm in favor. I'm in favor of that. I just
something.
Yeah, this whole idea of doing, taking, and I'm just going to use the figure we used for $10,000. But remember, we're going to take that money from somewhere, so other things may not happen. If we're going to do this kind of thing, and we know it's now just budgeting, because this summer here. You weigh whether that's as important as this is, mm-hmm. and it's...
Tell us that in 2 weeks when we have our meeting.
I will. No.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a way to try it, maybe.
Well, we have to do something, because it's a setting an example. There's no sense having these ordinance in there if you're going to sit back and do nothing. I mean, people have to know you're going to do
that something. That was my point, is let's try to set an example here for other places. You know, you aren't allowed to come.
Now, the county, I believe, and I think some other jurisdictions, and I'll be off, I wouldn't throw out a number, they actually add a fee, so you have a building permit fees, or any of our fees, and then there's just like a $25, I get fake number, surcharge, and that goes into code enforcement and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it builds up a fund, then, not that we do a lot of permits, but that's also one way. It's $250 to do X, but you're going to pay $275 because it's a $25, like a court fee when you get a ticket.
Right.
They add a court fee. You know, thinking that money is because you know, as you build more, you have more code problems. It's just kind of, and over time. So, you know, I've never looked into that, but it's
an idea.
That's an idea.
But then this whole, I will bring this thing up about budgeting. Yeah. For this, because it's valuable to us. I'm no way saying that we shouldn't do something. It's just jumping first and then not waiting for the process to finish.
Well, the problem that I've seen out there is when it first started happening, it was just a little bit. And now it's more and more and more. It's expanding as opposed to contracting.
But I would also throw this in there. You know, we have a current staffing situation where, you know, we're a brand new city growing, and I can tell you that these two people work night and day. I get emails from him and him at late at night.
We get more from him than he gets his new cell phone.
But some of this stuff doesn't fit into the schedule of being important enough to stop something like this loan process.
No.
So I'm just saying that these two get to make decisions around, do I do something with this today? Because I've got, like he's got a day and a half coming. This whole week is a mess for both of them. And you get the idea. You know what I'm saying. So there are priority decisions get made.
Like
we try to keep, is it less important? We try to keep one going with the counties. Kind of what I thought. So we got that's the one going. Now we'll work its way through, and then we can pick out kind of the next one that's kind of bugging everyone.
We've got enough out there. We can pick them for the rest of our lives.
Correct. You know, the sewer and water are
actually looking better now.
When you get sewer and water, I know, Dennis, you live out there, but actually once, you know, one thing is going to happen. It's going to make the roads better because you're going to tear them up, so you're going to put them back. You know, we went in and we had street lights at that point, and you're going to be on sewer and water. It'll have more of a city feel to everyone. They'll feel they're there, and you know there's 10% that will impact to just keep their places
absolutely
nicer. Right now, it's a little bit like the Wild West.
Oh, yeah.
I do what I want,
yeah,
and so I can throw my camp trailer out there. But once the septic tanks are gone, guess what? They don't have the ability to just run pipes off to stuff because it's going into our system. And then what we do, we go block it. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, I can't do that on a septic system. So, really, it makes life easier on a few other things, and I think it'll reduce crime with all of that.
Yeah.
So your crime rate, the number of trips that public works staff is in that area.
Yeah.
When there's water and sewer and you're there doing a leak check or you're doing a meter reading or you're pumping a septic tank instead of a occasional drive-through, there will have to be there. And you'll people there will see.
Well, so you'll
notice more. Dark.
Yeah, you'll see the city presence a lot more.
Yes.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. It's called growth.
Yeah, this is a process. Everyone's a process, and it's getting slowly getting
When you get the idea in the people's head that own the property, you maintain it, you keep it clean, your property values go up. You're worth more. Right. And people don't seem to think that way. You know, if you have a presentable
residence. The part is, I don't really spend that property value.
Yeah.
It may be for my heirs.
Yeah. Well, that plus your next door neighbor may not be doing too much either.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other public comments?
I just want to point out that I believe that attendance to any commission or board is important. I mean, we've all got friends out there, and we've all got associates. I just want to encourage you to look very closely at attendance. If you're going to have board members that aren't really able, it's not the individual's fault so much as if that's the case, they probably don't need to be on the board. You need the people here all of the time, knowing what's going on, and that's all I got to say about that.
I think as a board member that we have to look into that. I agree with you. Unless you're sick or you're on vacation or something like that, but when you constantly miss meetings for a long period of time, you should be looking for somebody else.
I think it's
obviously that person can't stay here.
I think that we address that, but other than when we created it, if I haven't looked at it. I do believe something about that. Ashley,
it's
you
really
have a person, send us an email. Because there's something about two or three meetings in
right,
a row.
Right, unless you call ahead of time and say, hey, I'm going to be gone for a couple of months or something on vacation or whatever.
And then the easier
really
thing
sick,
to do is if you have somebody, you can just tell because they're gone. Either here, they miss a couple, and they're here for one, miss a couple.
Yeah.
We just have the conversation, say, your wife's busy, like what you.
But when you're not here for 6 or 7 months, that's something else.
Yeah, and then but like just kind of say, hey, maybe you should think about it. And then on their own, they'll usually get the hint.
Yeah, like Rick says, when you've got intermittent, you make two, miss one, make another one, miss one, make two more or three more, and it doesn't serve you as a board.
Right. Exactly.
No.
There are other people out there with just as good a qualifications to that will be here every time. Look at you guys. You're always here. So that's it.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. Staff general comments.
The only comment I have, I think we should look seriously into another board member. Really serious about it. If look at what it says. Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome, Jim.
How do you like your microphones?
Love it. Nice.
Yeah, boy, don't you guys like it?
You know what? My wife's probably going to start coming, and I'm going to be in trouble.
Aren't you normally?
In trouble. Yeah. Corey, can you tell the difference with those speakers up there now from the other day when we were?
Yeah, there's a difference. I mean, can you?
Yeah, I can hear you good. Well, really good. Really
okay. Because the other thing is, we can play with the settings over there. You can adjust these speakers, you can adjust those speakers, you can adjust the volume of the audience mic, you can adjust these mics. So if we don't like this format, we can set it, we can create a new default, but I think it is good. I agree.
And what we discovered with Dennis, we were testing the other day, in other words, I can hear you through this, Russ. You're sitting 3 feet, 4 feet from the mic. So again, we can't adjust it for the 4 foot back guy and the 6 inch person. So if you're louder, you will have to shove the mic back. If you whisper, you're going to have to pull because we can't adjust it based on each person speaking. Right now, I would say I can hear all of you through it.
Me too.
And that, and Russ isn't as loud as you.
But we know who on the other end is.
You don't need a mic.
Now, and Ashley just spoke, she moved toward it, so she was real loud.
Yeah, I'll move it back a little bit further.
No. And I think you want it to where they have to be too close, because we, by nature, you tend to move around.
And, we'll learn it. And think about the people sitting in this row right here.
Right.
You know every one of them. Mm-hmm. I know them. I can name them off who sit across the back here. And we need to think about, let's make sure that we can attract those people who can't hear. Because I know Vicki would come if she could hear it. And I while I'm sitting right here, what I'm saying is, we also need to think about the people who have a hard time hearing. We're hearing it great. You know, this is, I love it.
I think people will like it.
I know they will. But there's going to be that still that group that's out there that can't quite hear as good as other people, and we don't know what that impact is back here. I'm going to have Vicki come just to give us
a
that's a good idea.
Have her sit towards the back there.
Okay. Yeah. I will. I'll have her test this out for us,
right,
which will be an opportunity.
That's the best way we could test it. I mean,
you need to come forward, or
scoot your mic.
Or scoot the mic back towards you. One of the two.
I think that's a good idea.
Or is the mic not even on? No, you push the button on the mic?
The red circle.
Although it's always on.
You're not turning on too?
No, it's not always on because the red.
The red light's on.
Oh, yeah. This is always on. This shows you that the system is on. Okay. And then you have to push the button.
Hit on there and see if yours is on.
It's on now.
It
was off before.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why you could hear him.
That's why I was speaking softly.
Okay. One thing I've been going to think about, but I thought, Scott, if you want. And I already know the answer over here, before we finish out this budget here, is to buy a radar trailer, which is going to be run by Public Works, a speed radar trailer, because we budgeted it a year ago and didn't really ever buy it, because this was on the list, and that radar trailer, Corey, was one that we were, obviously you weren't here, but it's one of those things where you drive by. Mm-hmm. The speed. And then the Public Works guys moving around town based on complaints, and of course that'll be a list of complaints as to where you're putting it. Not that'll just be a new problem. But Scott, if you guys are okay, and I'm asking them, I'm asking you, but if you're okay, if you want us to start getting quotes on that, so we could buy that get it here before summer. So Scott, if you're okay with it, have him start looking around for new and used. And also the other thing is, what I'd like to do is get one that has a memory inside it, so it will keep track of the average speed. So when someone says on William Foss, I can tell you, people will say, everyone drives 60, and when you actually get the speed of 100 vehicles, it'll be 45. But it takes the guessing out of it, and you'd probably pay a little more for that memory, and you download it, and so you can actually say, no, this is what people are driving on average, something like that. But and we're going to spend...
So I had quoted on one of those 3 years ago or something.
Something like that.
Just a ballpark figure. And one that has the data logging in it was about 14,000.
Yeah. You know, it lasts for a decade or more. You know, it's pretty good.
We can probably borrow one from the county. The county sheriff, I think, keeps one across the street, but it doesn't have any of those features. It's just a reader that you get to race.
I know it'd be nice to have our own, but we can haul it around ourselves.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, into Huntington Meadows and over on Kegel. And, you know, you just have to kind of move around. And
they'll do traffic counts or you know, car counts as well as speed tracking.
You know, Rick has brought this out. It's in the budget.
I'm not sure it's in the we pay for it out of Public Works, but we have equipment and capital that we haven't spent. Because one thing, we're so frugal that we then end up, this would be a good time to buy it because we're before this budget year's done.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. If you can find one, a fairly new one that's used and has all the features that you want, go for it.
Sure.
Or buy a new one, depending on what the condition of a used one is. You know, which would be the better way to go.
Yeah.
I still think the best thing we can do is get one of the old sheriff's cars and put it down here on the ground. It slowed everybody down when we had that old black and white up there.
Yeah.
And I even saw the cops slowing down when I saw that. I mean, they did. It's cheap. They've got them as surplus up there in the sheriff's car.
City of Garibaldi used to, that was one of their tactics when they lost their police force, was, or they could only afford one guy, is they'd just park a car up there. There was some smart aleck that kept throwing empty donut boxes out front of the driver's
car. Well, that was probably the cops.
Jefferson County has one that they rotate around Crooked River Ranch. It's kept at the fire station. And the sheriff, they move it around. He actually has a dummy. Yeah. So it has a person sitting in it.
In Utah, I saw two Broncos that were full sheriff's cars. They had two dummies in them. One was a male and one was a female in uniform. And you should see the brake lights come on when they came through this small town. And, you know, of course my son has to go out and take a picture of it because he's a cop. But
I'd like to make one more comment, please. We have a speed signal at that end of town.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that we were promised one for this end of town, and it never happened. I really think that would be a valuable thing to have, you know.
We can just send an email to Pat Kriedekin. No, not Pat Kriedekin. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
But I do notice that since I come from that direction, you've got those two 45 mile an hour speed signs. One says you're going to be into a 45. They start slowing down at the first one. And they start slowing down really fast. And when they hit the second one, boy, they're really hitting the brakes and slowing down.
And they're close.
Yeah.
Both of those signs.
They're putting those in around more and more.
Well, one sign's about where that house is on the side of the road, and then the next one's halfway down the middle. And boy, when they hit that first sign, they're off the gas.
I think ODOT's putting them out because they kind of can afford them. I think they're somewhat spendy because they're solar, and you know. And I think that they're going to request it every town in Oregon. And so, it's...
I mean, it's a federal highway, you know. They've got them everywhere else. I think it's just logical that
we'll send an email.
Yeah.
Okay. And especially since, a little bit further down, it's 65. And then all of a sudden it's 45. They're really slowing down fast. Well,
I still think the cop car would help.
No doubt about it.
It's amazing how many people slam on their brakes when it's on. And even when you know what it is, it's a reminder.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we could get a cop car. They've got less staff than they had.
They always have extra cars up there.
Okay, now we have the sheriff coming down on the April the 16th?
Yeah.
Okay.
April the 16th, I thought it was March.
It may be
26th or something like that.
Something. Anyway, he's coming down here shortly.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet over there. I think it's a great idea because they have cars that they've taken off of the streets to save money.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of cars.
I think it's
and move them around.
Well, let's think that through. But
That sounds like a Lapine thing. Yeah. putting junk police cars around on the street.
Hey, if it works, do it.
Just park a police car out there where those truck drivers can see it
coming down. Oh yeah, let me slow it down.
It's setting that. I guarantee you, they're going to slow down.
Or
that was really
about people slowing down real quickly when that car was up there.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll let Scott's replacement work on a rotation system of that.
But then every once in a while, as I said, just send a deputy out there and let him sit there.
Put a box of donuts in there and you can come out there.
No problem.
I know you've got more business to do.
You're talking to an ex-policeman here.
I was going to say about that sheriff that had that accident in Bend and hit a donut shot. Yeah. Oh my God, I can imagine what his fellow officers are saying to him.
Oh, yeah, he was on the radio when I was coming down. The chief of police was discussing that. I think we'll see our sheriff quite a bit between now and November because he has a contested race from a Lapine resident.
Yes.
So we will definitely see an increase in interest. You know, political offices, they go in cycles. I think with the two captains leaving, you know, there's just a little controversy down there. And,
we're going to see a county commissioner, too.
You know, so.
That might be.
I got called by the former sheriff the other night. He's actually working. In fact, he wanted to come today, but I have no room for him. But Blackman called me. He's working for Kirby Nagelhout, and you know they can't sit home long, so he's out helping find business. So I talked to him about 8 o'clock the other night. He's loving retirement, but he's doing all this. And they missed out on the St. Charles bid. They were number two, so. They didn't get that, so he was.
Well, it was in the on the radio or in the paper. Somebody filed the papers for the election for the sheriff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's from here.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So,
okay. Any committee member general comments?
I'm good.
Are we ready to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adjourned.
Good.